Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
To the Raptors Over Everything podcast. I'm your host, William Liu of Yahoo Sports Canada. And this week we have writer at large, Katie Heindel.
Hey, Will. Hi, everyone.
You seem so pleased with the writer at large.
I am very pleased.
You write at many places.
I do, and it really saved you having to read a bunch of bylines.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
It's an impressive title, so I like it.
Yeah. Read, you know, everything you write. But definitely basketball feelings. I don't know. Okay. All right. So we're going to cover some news and notes off top before we go into our five most interesting Raptors heading into the season. So right before we got together in this room, in this boardroom, it's not even a boardroom. This is like meeting room.
I feel like this is where they take people to get fired.
Yeah, you're right. This is eerie. I've been here. No, I've been
but
here.
We're doing well in here.
Yes, definitely. Please don't fire the podcast. But yeah, before we got into this firing room, we got the report from Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports that Pascal Siakam is a virtual lock, as he described it, to get a deal completed before the deadline, and it'll probably be something very close to the maximum contract. Are you cool with Pascal getting the max?
Yeah, I think so. As opposed to saying like, oh, is it too soon?
Like, is yeah.
No, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
I think, like, if everybody, it's not a surprise or a secret that he's the guy that they're going to build up the franchise around.
Mm-hmm.
So just make that known, like, well in advance. Also, just because I think it's way more incentivizing to give him that now that he will potentially want to come back later.
Okay.
Versus, yeah. I think, all the teams that are going to end up sniffing around after this season. If he's anything like he was last season, after the end of the season, you know, I think his worth is going to skyrocket in the league. So, yeah, give him the max. Pay the guy.
Yeah. No, I mean, in general, pay the players. Because if it's not the players getting it, it's just owners pocketing the money.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, much rather give it to Pascal. I guess the calculus here for the Raptors is that, you know, yes, if you don't sign him now, you can have flexibility next summer to maybe do something. But I thought, honestly, after they signed Kyle Lowry for, like, you know, a very generous $30 million, I would say. It's already kind of signaled out there that, like, we don't really have big plans for 2020. Because if you really did, you wouldn't really be signing Kyle Lowry to that big of a number. You might look to stretch that number out over multiple years. And so, clearly they don't have that big of an intention next summer. And, you know, okay, so, but whatever, flexibility is still flexibility. I guess the only concern I have is, like, you know, another team could come in and sort of offer him, like, a offer sheet that's, like, 3+1.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, if Pascal signs that deal, then the Raptors can still match. So, sure, he's not going anywhere. But all of a sudden, you're going from 5 guaranteed years to Pascal to mm-hmm. like 3 years plus a chance that he goes into unrestricted free agency a mm-hmm. little bit earlier. So if I'm the Raptors, I might just look at it like Pascal is, what, 25 right now?
Yeah.
You sign a 5-year deal after this year. It takes him to when he's 30, 31. You know, why not? Why not? And do you really believe in Pascal? Because I guess that's the question the Raptors have, but I guess they've seen him obviously much closer than anyone else has mm-hmm. outside of the organization. And like, if they believe in Pascal, then shit, I don't know.
I mean,
there's no reason not to.
It's true. And I think like for more of what we've seen, like contracts, even if they are like longer 5-year contracts, they're still all, they all still feel essentially like 3-year contracts because someone, especially for a player like yeah. Pascal, a team's probably going to be willing to like pick up the last bit of his contract,
yeah.
you know, the last remaining part of it. But I mean, personally, not as a Raptors fan, but as a fan of like Pascal and just player autonomy in general,
mm-hmm.
I think 3 years is always like a good option.
Yeah.
Because it shows the team's dedication to developing him
yes,
and
definitely.
To like investing in him. But then it also gives him the flexibility and freedom of like to still have the choice to, if he wanted to go somewhere else for yeah. like pretty much like peak years of his career. Not that 30, like in this league, 30 we've seen like can be really old. It could still have like, you could yeah. still have a couple good years. But for a player like Pascal, I don't know. I think for me personally, he's someone I would just hope like always keeps his options a little bit open.
Wow. Wow. But as a Raptors fan, selfishly, I want him to sign a lifetime contract. No, I'm happy. Honestly, if the Raptors organization wants to show Pascal he's a priority mm-hmm. and they want to take care of him early on and they want to show that they believe in him, then it's not necessarily about like savings. Because like, yo, you're asking a max guy to take like $2 million off. But like, I don't know, man. Players get overpaid all the time. Like Pat McCaughey gets like a
oh yeah
$4 million a year. I mean, like I'd rather give Pascal another $2 million than you know, save another $2 million off another guy. Like it's just,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And I think it's like, it's long-term investing too, right? Because like you could say like, oh, you know, ostensibly you've only got a contract on paper for 3 years. But like that's the way that you do incentivize players to want to come back to your team.
For sure.
You show them, you're like, we're not actually scared of losing you. We trust that like you'll make the correct decision for yourself. But like, you know, here's all the ways that we've supported you like throughout your like entire career, his entire career at this mm-hmm. point, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think there's a lot to be said for trust, and like the Raptors always sort of operate that way as far as like franchise moves, which is, I think, extremely respectable.
Yeah.
And why they're a great player fave.
And if we're going to be 100% honest about everything, Toronto is still Toronto.
Yeah.
And as much as there's still a stigma, like as much as, okay, they won the championship, there is still a stigma attached to players wanting to come here. I don't think it affects non-American players the same way. I think if you're American, you probably want to stay in America, but I mean, you know, hey, we're still Toronto, so 5 years, I'm happy with it. To be honest, I would have been happy with it either way. If they kept the flexibility,
mm-hmm.
whatever, that's fine. But if they sign him, it's obviously Pascal's clearly the franchise player here. It seems like in that same article with Chris Haynes, he also detailed some other contract situations where one guy he highlighted was Buddy Hield, who has already been pretty vocal in the fact that he wants to get an extension done.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love Buddy.
The Kings seem like they don't love Buddy and his slightly oversized teeth as much as Buddy might love Buddy.
I love Buddy.
They're not offering Buddy like what he wants. They're offering him something about $110 million.
Mm-hmm.
Or sorry, they're offering him $90 million over 4 years, and he wants $110. So that's a pretty sizable gap. Maybe they still reach an agreement, maybe they don't, but if, you know, if Buddy becomes available in trade or things like that, I feel like he would fit Toronto very, very, very nicely.
I don't even want, like, I kind of just got, just imagining it, I got very excited.
He's a great fit.
Yeah, he is a great fit, but he's a fit that I've, like, never let myself imagine on Toronto, because I've loved Buddy from afar for as long as I can remember.
Wow.
But he is a great fit. He's like a good, I think like in terms of like the energy, mm-hmm. if we want to maybe seek into guys who are showing a little less energy than desirable on the roster this year.
Oh, we'll get to that after this.
Buddy, nice little breadcrumb though.
That's perfect.
Buddy would be a phenomenal fit, absolutely, for the team. But I don't know, can we get our hopes up like that?
I would say, okay, well, you know what gives me optimism in this case is that you have Vlade Divac running the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Vlade is very proud of being Serbian.
Proud man.
He has one of the best Serbian players in the world on his team in Bogdan Bogdanović, who happens to be playing backup to Buddy Hield right now. And they're both hitting free agency at the same time.
Yes.
And I feel like if he had to choose, he might lean more towards Bogdanović.
Yeah. That's so true.
You know,
the Kings is a strange franchise. It's like definitely. It's been a Raptors graveyard, but then also a resurrector because like guys that land there, like Rudy, don't play that well, but well enough to get a decent contract and like ping pong somewhere else and then go on to have like really good years. So, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of like is it a purgatory?
I feel like saying the Kings are a weird franchise is very fitting because I still remember they signed Chuck Hayes for a 4-year deal to essentially be DeMarcus Cousins' parent. Like that's, and then they immediately traded Haynes to Toronto, obviously, in that Rudy Gay deal. They just make strange decisions in general, I feel like. And
it's a weird one. It's a really weird franchise.
Yeah, and in the case of Buddy, like he's pretty good. Like first off, he never gets injured. He played 82 games as a rookie, 80 as a sophomore, and last year 82 again. So he's missed 2 games total his entire career so far. Last year, obviously, was a breakout year for him. To be honest, he was a most improved candidate almost on the scale of Pascal. Almost. Right? I think Pascal deserved it, definitely, but I think Buddy honestly deserved it more than like someone like, you know, named D'Angelo Russell, for example, who ended up finishing second. Like Buddy went from 13.5 points per game to 20.7. He was one of the most prolific 3-point shooters in the league. He shot 43% on 8 attempts per game. And, you know, I think he really flourished in an up-tempo style of game. I think his playmaking is really starting to show a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
He really knows how to operate off the ball. Like, he's really a classic shooting, like, two guard. He can attack the rim a little bit, too. I don't think he has, like, he's not that athletic. But, I mean,
he's
like,
he's got a quickness, though.
He does have a quickness. He has a good first step. Yeah. He gets past people. And, obviously, because he's moving so much and because he's such a threat to shoot, defenders are almost always trying to catch up to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he can get by. He can turn the corner on people. And he would be a nice fit. I don't know, man.
It's a great cultural fit, too.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Buddy,
come to Toronto. Come on, buddy. We got money. The Raptors got money, kind of.
Got a little bit. Yeah. We got Buddy Hield money.
Yeah, we definitely have Buddy Hield money. speaking of what you said earlier in terms of players not playing hard, so I just got back from practice where Nick Nurse. So we were talking about this before the show. Nick Nurse is not a guy that goes in on people. It just hasn't happened yet. Yeah. Maybe because last year there was no reason to. Like, are you really gonna like tear into Jeremy Lin for really being really really bad, or you know you probably just want to keep it moving, you want to keep the ship steady? But today at practice just now, he was sort of asked about how the younger guys are fitting into sort of how the Raptors defend, because he was talking about, you know, the identity of this team is that we're going to defend really hard and then share the ball on offense, right? And so they're asked, you know, what about the newer guys? You know, it's like Stanley Johnson, he's known as his defensive guy, Rondé's known as his defensive guy, how have they fit in? And Nick, I was surprised. He was pretty blunt. He was like, look, man, you come to Toronto, you got to play hard and you got to defend. You got to play with intensity. I don't think people understood that. But now that they're here, they need to do that. And they haven't done that yet. And there are open roster spots, but none of them have stood out to me yet.
I want to find the quote exactly.
Which is, you know, pretty forthcoming.
It's a little bit damning.
For Nick Nurse to say. Especially because you just don't expect guys to get ripped in preseason.
Yeah.
Because they had training camp. It was in Quebec City. Then they flew all the way across the road to Tokyo. They did a whole bunch of promotional events. Then they flew all the way back. They played one random game against Chicago, which if you went to that game, God bless you. You are a true diehard Raptor fan. But, you know, if you went to that game, you also know that that game was not very well played. And so, I don't know. I just feel like it's a little bit soon. But I also appreciate Nick Nurse for saying this. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, like last season, he was such like, even in the defeats, like kind of an affable.
Yeah.
Guy. Always just like, well, I have like I'm affecting a twang.
That's good. That's good. Very good. He's from Iowa.
Well, you know, we just got to get out there and play a little harder. They whooped us, or like something to that extent.
Sound like you're from the 70s.
I know.
Like
I don't know. I don't know where I went.
Maybe
got real character. Got method. But he never kind of came out in these in a hot way mm-hmm. to just be like, like these it's not, I don't know, nobody's cutting it. So I feel like there must be some kind of, you know, like a tea kettle. He's like been rising.
Yeah.
And something happened today to like really blow the lid off. Cause like the quote, him just being like, nope. These guys have not understood how hard we play. This was my favorite part. Our schemes.
Yo, you guys don't even know what you're doing out there. You're not playing hard and you don't know what
you're
doing.
You don't know our schemes.
Amazing.
The defense is a priority for them. So I don't know. One, how hard we play. We were talking about this a bit before, just like, because there was something about Rondé and Stanley Johnson, like, I just kind of attributed it to, oh, maybe they just, like, haven't figured it out yet. It's mm-hmm. the preseason. They got to really, like, get in the rotation. But then maybe they're just truly not bad, but, like, they're really not playing at the same kind of caliber that the rest of the roster is, which, not surprising.
Bruh.
But, I mean, even – I feel like that's a kind of a big – burn because you're coming out of the off season.
Mm-hmm.
You are just playing like pretty low key. I mean, I feel like the Tokyo games were a bit more. I mean, you kind of want to come out strong against the Rockets.
Yeah.
But that said, like they're all preseason games, so to get this kind of heat
mm-hmm.
in the preseason, to be like you're trash basically.
Yeah,
it's harsh words.
Well, I mean, I guess it's not that surprising now because if you look at how the rotations shook out in preseason, which, I mean, who's really looking at preseason rotations?
People are. Listen to this
including,
podcast.
Including myself, actually. So if you're like me, you're looking at the rotation, you're thinking, well, Stanley Johnson is like often the last guy to come off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean like out of all the guys. Obviously, there's some guys on the bench that we know are not even going to make the final roster. They're going to go to the 905. But sometimes it's some of the 905 guys that come off the bench before Stanley Johnson is. And even Rondé to a lesser extent. I would say Rondé's maybe – he's coming a little bit earlier. But most of these guys have just come in during garbage time.
Yeah.
And that's kind of disappointing. These guys have a pedigree. Like, they've played in the league for 3-4 years now. Like, they should – I don't know. They should be better than this, you know? I think it was either Alex or Dan Reynolds during the Bulls game kind of turned to me and said in the fourth quarter when it was just like straight up like D-League guys versus D-League guys and the Raptors had D-League guys plus Stanley Johnson, and they turned to me and they were like, you know, Stanley should really stand out more than he is in the setting. And mm-hmm. so far it just hasn't happened. Now, obviously, it's like super, super early. I think Nurse just wants to light a fire on these guys because, you know, there's literally open rotation spots. Like, someone needs to step up and mm-hmm. grab those, right? Whether he needs to be nice about it or mean about it, it's all the same. You just need someone to serve the role. But at the same time, like, he's just do better.
He's like, obviously, he's trying to get them to be competitive. But, I mean, it kind of also makes you step back and realize as, like, watching the Raptors how maybe spoiled we are. Because mm-hmm. you look at some of the empty rotational spots we had in past seasons and, like, someone like Fred VanVleet or, like, Pascal or even, like, I don't know, when Powell can nab those, like, how they do not take it for granted the opportunity to step into those spots.
Yeah, definitely.
And how hard they all worked, like, you know, whether it was like shuttling between 905, you know, to getting like whatever minutes, like even if they were like garbage time minutes, whatever minutes they could, there was a lack of a sense of like entitlement and privilege. Not to say like, not to imply that like Rondé or Stanley have that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But as you said, like they're
the urgency
coming,
is not the same.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's not the same urgency. There's not the same like competitive spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of weird that they don't have that because they're coming from teams where they were getting some good play.
Well, yeah. And also, if you go through the free agency process and you are like 24 years old, like Rondé, and you're ending up on a minimum contract, you know, sometimes you just got to like understand the situation a little bit. I think these guys can turn it around. Like, this is literally so
early.
Yeah,
we're not trying to damn them.
No, but the fact that Nick Nurse came out and said these things, I think he's trying to light a fire under these guys. And I really want to see them succeed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Raptors need some good guys off the bench. And these guys have it in them to be good.
Yeah.
You know?
But, larger question.
Mm.
Has the Nick Nurse championship outfit personified of aviator sunglasses all the time?
Yes.
Goth Nick Nurse branded hat.
Yeah.
Guitar permanently strapped to his back.
Yeah. Oh, he's a badass.
Has it
now
gone to his head?
Nick Nurse is a bit of a badass now. He opened the presser today by talking about his friend Joe Madden, who I think just got a new contract or something.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, how much he's making? He's like, oh yeah, it's like 12 to 15 million. He's like, well, you won the championship, you know, you're worth that much now. And then he like kind of like winked at the cameras. Oh. And I'm like, yo, Nick, wow, okay, speak your truth.
He's turning over a new leaf, and you know what? I don't hate it.
Yeah. No, I mean, championship swagger. It doesn't just limit to. It's not limited to players.
But
it's
the twang's not gone. Getting whooped. I hope he still says that a couple times.
He still looks like he's always saying aw shucks, even though I don't think I've ever heard him say aw shucks. That might just be generalizing. Okay, so that's all the news and notes.
That was some breaking news.
This is not bad.
This is up to the minute.
This is not bad,
folks.
So the next thing we're going to talk about is, so I've compiled a list of the five most interesting players for me coming into the season. I shared this list with you. I think we match on four of them, and we have one difference.
Yes.
In that, I will can reveal it later. But I think Fred VanVleet is on both our lists. He's number one on my list. And for me, I just think that some people have an aura about them, and it just feels very much like Fred knows who he is now. Mm-hmm. He's come to a point in his life where he understands, or come to a point in his career where he understands what he's about. He knows he can do it. He knows he can do it at the highest possible level because he did it in the finals against Steph Curry, of all people. Mm-hmm. And he's just ready to take a leap, not necessarily just in terms of his play, but just as a person. You know, and I think that's very fascinating for someone to arrive at that point. And that's why he's my most interesting person. I know you love Fred, so please,
I love Fred.
Please gush about Fred.
I love Fred. It's hard to like centralize my thoughts about Fred into one cohesive thought because there's a big gushing cloud at all times in my head. But I said this before. I think I was talking about this with Woodley on your rival podcast, Locked On Raptors.
We don't. We're not locked on. No, okay.
Oh God.
Shout out Woodley. I was on this podcast like six or seven times.
Anyway, there's something about Fred this year that scares me in a very positive way, but it still scares the shit out of me. Is that he's like playing with this new kind of like, he's always played with a determination and a sort of like tunnel vision of like going after what he wants, whether like in game or out, just in terms of like work ethic, dedication. But it's almost like he is playing this like quieter, way more assured game. Mm-hmm. And yep, he's like zeroed in absolutely on like what he wants this year to be, like how he's going to go after it and get it. And he's like so confident in that he's like not really saying anything, but it's so like his intentions are so clear.
Yep.
Like it's like a bit like a killer's mentality. All right.
We want to go there, sure.
I don't mean it in a dark way, because again, it's like, you know, it's still the friend we love. Yeah, but
metaphorically,
it's just like he's just playing at like a whole new level of self assurance, mm-hmm, yeah. And he has every reason to, because like I think every year, like he's a player who's like set the targets of what he wants to do, accomplish that,
right,
shown it, worked really hard for it, and never really like he's kind of like indefatigable, like he doesn't really, you know, waver. I'm so excited to see how he is on court with that, because I don't think he's scared of anybody, and he shouldn't be.
He really shouldn't be,
because he's proven it,
except for James Ennis III. James Ennis III blocked Fred so many times in that Sixers.
The Fred stopper.
No, he's the only guy who can stop Fred.
Maybe that's why he's got the killer's mentality. That's who his gaze is settled on.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm going to kill you.
This is the first time in his life someone is going to look at James Ennis III heading into a game and be like, I'm going to embarrass that guy.
Yeah, he's good.
I'm going to try to show up that guy. yeah, no, but with Fred, I just think that it almost reminds me a little bit of sort of, you know, like DeMar came in, he was really young. You know, he was actually real adorable. Like he used to be like at drive-thrus with Sonny Weems and Amir Johnson. And he was always more playful, and he was definitely a playful guy. Like obviously, you know, all the videos with him and Kyle, but like, at some point, he just got like really serious and really sure, and he knew what he was going to do on a nightly basis. He knew where his place was in the league, and he just went out and did it. And I feel like for DeMar, it was probably like 2013. It really felt like, all right, he's coming into his own. Like,
yeah,
this is his team now. He knows it. And I feel like Fred, I feel like he understands the situation. Maybe it's not necessarily Fred's team. I wouldn't say the Raptors are Fred's team, but he definitely is one of the most featured, prominent guys on the team. He knows the team needs them. And I feel like, you know, he's ready to step into that role. Like, all the players have said it too. The coaches have said it too. Nick Nurse gets asked every single day, basically, in his pressers. Like, hey, who's looking good for you out there? Every single time he talks about Fred.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle was asked about it yesterday at a scrum. And Kyle also mentioned, you know, there's Fred is, he's just saying, like, Fred's ready to take a leap. And he was sort of really commending Fred about how, you know, when Fred first came into the league, Kyle Lowry took him under his wing,
mm-hmm.
and was like, all right, so you're short, you know, you're slightly thick, like, you know, this is how we're going to play the point guard position, this is how we're going to be good at it. And then, you know, Fred saw Terrence Davis Jr. are coming into the league this year, and Fred is taking that role. And so Kyle really praised him yesterday about sort of passing the game on and stuff like that. And it just speaks to, like, I think Fred's in a good place. Also, he's healthy again, man.
Yeah.
Like, last year, he was just banged up all the time. He had a back issue, had a little, like, ankle issue. You know, he had a hip issue that affected him, you know, in the finals of all places. Like, he's healthy again. He's getting to the rim.
He is getting
that's,
to the
that's
rim.
That's rare for a small guy like that to get to the rim.
But this is, like, I've always, I don't know. I don't, I've always been like, wow, Fred can be so fast. And a lot of people are like, but he's so slow and kind of big. But, like, in the same way Lowry has these, like, bursts of speed, Fred always has these, like, sneaky bursts of speed.
Yes.
And that's what I want to see more of this year.
Yeah.
Deadly speed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's very deadly with his speed, for sure. I also actually low-key think Fred might be the best shooter on the team now.
Yeah. I don't think that's – I think that could be widely known.
Okay.
Widely observable.
All right.
But you heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Fred VanVleet, good at shooting the basketball. The guy who hit 7 threes against the Bucks on the road in game 5. Great moments, man, Fred, honestly. What a – well, he's already a Raptor legend. We don't have to say anymore. Another guy I'm really excited about, OG Anunoby.
Yes.
First off, I think everyone should be rooting for OG after the year he went through.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, I think just on a personal level, like, I really hate this idea that Raptors fans sort of go through every time. It's sort of a habit where we see a guy come in, he's doing great early on in his career. You're like, whoa, look at him. Maybe he's a star. And then when they inevitably don't become a star, people are like, wow, I can't believe he didn't become what we hoped he would be. This guy's trash.
We were fooled again.
It's always flipped. It flips always, and there's always a guy. Like, it happened to JV. Mm-hmm. It happened to Terrence Ross.
It still happens to Lowry.
It still happens a little bit to Lowry. It happens to DeMar. DeMar was polarizing for different reasons based on where you stood on advanced analytics and things like this. But, I just feel like I already sensed that it was happening to OG this year. I want him to do well, man. He's, like, what, 23 years old?
Yeah.
He went through a tough sophomore year. But even last year, when you look at the numbers, he wasn't that bad. Like, people talk about him like he was putting the ball in his own net all the time. Or, you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't that bad.
Again, like, I think it's a thing. Like, we're all a little bit spoiled.
Yeah, for sure. We're like, oh, yeah, so you're going to be the next Pascal, right? No, Pascal's like a once-in-a-generation kind of, like, leap.
Yeah. And I think it is a unique thing. Like, yes, we all do this, and I don't think it's a good thing that we all do. But I also think it is part of, knowing this team and how we've acquired players, like, I don't know, forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you do get these... We are kind of accustomed to getting these, like, not randos, but just, like, dudes who, you know, maybe other teams have looked over.
Yep.
They're just, like, they've developed up from, like, the D League. And then they all work out. Or, like, the Raptors seem to have a real knack, right?
It's,
like,
amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. So we're also spoiled in that way. But that's a total anomaly. And I think, to forget that is to be, like, a bit, like, bratty and spoiled and, like, kind of privileged, because that's not something that happens with, like, every other franchise and every other team.
That's not something that used to happen with the Raptors as recently as before Masai got here.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, we're taking Ed Davis with the 10th pick, and it's like, cool. I mean, Ed Davis covered out a very long career, but, like, you know, whatever. Like, it didn't really pan out like that.
The leaps and bounds, like, look at the core now, and, like, all these guys are just, like, essentially, like, cast-offs or, like, throwaways that, like, were looked over but then got in the system and are now superstars. and are like the core and foundational pieces of the team. That's like not something that happens, and it's not something that happens consistently every single year, but we've had that every single year for a long enough time now that I think we're all used to it. So when someone like OG maybe wavers because, like, honestly, he was just like unhealthy. Like, he just had a shitty, like a run of bad luck last year. So I don't think you could look at it and be like, he's trash, because he's not. He's not at all. No. He just like had a bit of a stunted year. And I think this year, I think it is unfair to like place the same kind of expectations on him as like a Pascal. Like, I don't necessarily know that he's going to have that jump. But then again, like, we also don't know that he won't, or he won't have a jump that looks like that, but is unique to OG.
Right. And that's the thing. With OG, I feel like his developmental path is different from Pascal. Pascal, his coordination was always a lot better than OG's. And in terms of his scoring, like, even in a college setting, okay, whatever. It's college. Everyone's more featured in college. But Pascal's role was a scorer. Like, he was a scorer. Whereas OG's role in college was what he's doing now, 3 and D. And so I feel like with OG, like, me personally, I think he's going to, like, have like a PJ Tucker type career, but like, that's fine. Like, PJ Tucker is a really, really good player. Like, Amazing. He's one of the best role players in the league, and you need players like that to win at a very high level. And I feel like OG, like, he has the tools to do that. In fact, I don't even think he's very far from that. Like, he could really just make one or two small adjustments to his game, and he could be very, very good. Like, I mean, like, why can't he be Trevor Ariza? Like, I think he can be. And the thing is, there's nothing wrong with being Trevor Ariza. It's just that, like, because of his first year, people were like, well, if you look at Paul George and how he developed, and it's like, Paul George is Paul George. Like, come on.
Yeah, another anomaly. Yeah, I think, like, comparisons like that closely to other players just don't make sense.
No.
Because also, I think don't also make sense with, like, again, player to player at all. But to OG, like, there's something about him, like, whether it's like his versatility, or there's just a sense that like he could step into many more roles than kind of just like a traditional 3-and-D guy, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
And I think to just like pin him on, oh, like he can only develop in one way, will actually stunt that versatility and That's isn't going to serve him in the long run.
Right.
Not to put too many like expectations on the guy. Just back from
you and I have already completed
less one appendix, you know,
of overrating and underrating a guy. No, I just want OG to do well though. Overall,
we're just excited
in terms of like guys that can change like the long term outlook of the Raptors. OG taking a big, huge leap, whether it's the leap is to becoming a PJ Tucker type or even becoming more than that, is I think one of the more realistic paths on the team, and so. There's a lot of growth potential with OG, and I just hope he realizes that. Also, I hope people make their peace with OG. You know what I mean? Like,
how can you be mad at that? Like,
I don't know, but people are mad at OG.
That's very weird.
It is weird.
I think you're really weird. That's like the weirdest Raptor to be mad at right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look at the other wings we have behind OG. Norman Powell. I think he's okay. So with Norm, I'm not entirely convinced that Norm has this like giant leap in him.
Yeah.
But I also see it from Norm's perspective in the sense that he came in as a rookie, second round pick, works his way up to the G League, makes an impact. Obviously, that steal and dunk over Paul George, amazing, amazing moment. But, you know, he's a rookie. And he, in his second season, he was forced to play out of position a lot because Damari Carroll was Damari Carroll and wasn't very good or healthy. And so Norm had to play a lot of small forward, because DeMar wasn't playing small forward, even DeMar was bigger, and DeMar was playing defense, and so Norm had to do just a lot of stuff. Like, there were games where, like, Norm had to guard Carmelo Anthony as a second-year player who's, like, 6'3". It's like, no, this is just not what is supposed to be happening. He did it pretty well. I remember a game where he had to defend Kristaps Porzingis, and it's like, what are we doing, right? So he's put out of position. You know, the following year after that, he has injuries early in his career. OG breaks out. He's basically left out of the rotation because the starting unit finds a great rhythm. The bench finds a great rhythm. And Dwayne Casey's a guy who looks at rhythm and says, I'm not going to mess with it. So Norm just never had a featured role. And then Danny Green and Kawhi come. So he's still not in the featured role. And now finally all those factors are gone and he actually has a clear opportunity.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, it's one of, maybe it's just like it's kind of now or never. But also it's just like, I guess, I don't know. We haven't seen the best of Norm yet.
Yeah.
And I hope we see it this year.
Yeah. I think, he's always been a player who's been relegated a little bit and has these, like, flashpoints, usually in the playoffs, which are great because it shows, like, there is a certain – there's something in him that performs really well under pressure.
Yeah.
And doesn't really balk or shy away from it, which is nice. But we haven't the only thing, Norm wasn't on my list.
Norm wasn't on your list. Okay.
Full disclosure. But it doesn't mean it doesn't mean I don't want the best for Norm. The thing that I worry about, basically maybe the only thing with Powell, is how is he going to handle consistent minutes? Because he hasn't actually had that yet. Not to say he's not ready for it or he'll get like too fatigued or anything like that, but there's just a different tedium to playing those, like, just like game after game after game versus those flashpoint minutes of like where he really like explodes and performs well and can kind of shine. I like Norm's one of those players that like, I don't know. I mean, I hope there aren't fans who are like sick of it, but I think everybody is behind him and wants to see him like be able to step into that role, because if there's anyone who's like really earned it by like kind of toiling away in the shadows of like greater or like perceived greater players at the time, it's Powell. And yeah, it is his turn. I do really wonder like how he'll make that transition. Not to say he's not mentally capable, physically capable, or ready for it.
Right.
I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm definitely curious too. But you know, honestly, as a Raptors fan, I'm just like, Norm, you got to show something now and like show it consistently. And I would love for you to stick around. But if you don't do it this year, then
I think that's, you know,
we just got to move on.
That's
So Kyle Lowry is also on the list, mostly because I really want to see him age gracefully.
Me too.
I want to see everybody age gracefully in general, I would say. But in particular with Kyle. Yeah, definitely.
In your life and basketball.
Yeah. Like all my grandparents are still alive. They're aging gracefully, so that's good. But yeah, I mean, like with Kyle, I wanted to see him age gracefully in the sense that I think he's smart enough to understand where he is. He's not going to be one of those guys who, like Carmelo, who gets old and all of a sudden they can't change the game and they're out of the game so quickly, like Allen Iverson, things like this. Kyle is a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a role player in his life. He understands how to be a star player. I don't know if he can be a star player consistently anymore, but he clearly knows how to contribute in terms of just whether it's taking charges, whether it's making passes, stretching the floor, on or off the ball, defending multiple positions, mentoring young guys, you know, taking people under his wing. He does it all. He really is like, I mean, if you're going to pay $31 million for an aging player, you need them to give you everything they can possibly give you. And I feel like Kyle is also one of those guys that he can do it. So I just hope it's graceful, because I feel like last year, because he had that back injury, there were times in December I'm just thinking, man, what's going on? Every time he shot the ball, it didn't look like it was going in. He had that scoreless game against the Bucks, you remember, in December.
Yeah.
And that was pretty terrible because the rest of the Raptors played just fine. Mm-hmm. And the Raptors lost by five because Kyle Lowry had 0 points. So I just wanted to see him ace gracefully. That's really it.
There's a relevancy, I think, to Lowry that he like continues to reestablish every year, in that like it was so refreshing. And I thought just like really cool how you saw a different side of him last year when Kawhi and Danny came in, and how he had to take this sort of like backseat role, but he did so in a, you know, gracefully. He absolutely did. And he kind of like willingly and generously handed over this team that he'd, I think, essentially built, this kind of like ragtag band of like what was once like outsiders, but was now like a really well-working, hard-working machine, to like this all-star.
Yes,
and
definitely
was comfortable taking a backseat and doing more of like the distribution, like being more of a playmaker, like just kind of watching. And it must have been hard, right? Like after he lost DeMar, like coming into kind of like an uncertain, I'd say like first 2 months of the season, but very quickly he just sort of, I think he just saw the writing on the wall and was like, if this is going to work. And like, you know, he said many times, like, I want a title. Like, I want a championship.
Yes, the gold
like,
ball, as he kept calling it. He kept calling the gold ball.
I mean, direct, right? He was focused.
Never heard anyone call him the gold ball. That sounds like a award you get at the World Cup.
And I think that was the clearest path there. And he like saw the way to do it and he did it. But it takes a real mature player to be able to do that. And to say like, look, there's only kind of one way that I can fit into this team and we'll get there. And I'm going to just like step into that and be comfortable with it and not be like, you know, a bit of a diva or anything like that. Like Lowry is just like, he constantly, like, I don't think he's going to end up like a Carmelo. Or a player like that, because he constantly sort of like reinvents himself and figures out ways to stay relevant.
Right.
I think last year he did it by like, by showing that he could like lead like that on the court as well, yeah, as like off the court, he sort of secured this amazing contract for himself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was second in the league in assists last year. That's incredible.
Yeah. And he's like a team leader, like a cultural leader. Like, he's shown that to the, like, what a fit he is with the franchise. And like, I think the Raptors, I mean, I think they knew it all along, but there was something that they saw last year.
Yeah.
They realized, oh shit, like, we really got to lock this guy down, because to a lot of franchises, like, honestly, like the Celtics, the Bucks, like franchises that have something, they have some pieces and they should be working, but there's something at the core of them that doesn't necessarily work. Lowry could be a glue guy, I think, for places like that.
Yeah.
And I think they recognize that and were like, pay this man.
Yeah.
We got to keep him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for Kyle. I'm so happy that he won the championship.
I love that moment, Kyle. Yeah.
That moment in games after game six of the Eastern Conference Finals, when the crowd just organically busts out into a Kyle, like a Lowry, Lowry. And it was just, and Kyle just like,
cried. You know,
he was trying to like hold his emotions and be a little bit tougher. But like, he was just like, man, this is amazing.
You know?
He finally got over that hurdle. And then he scored 26 points in game six of the finals. And, you know, brought home the gold ball.
But unfortunately, I don't think Raptors fans are like going to get their shit together this year. And I think there's still going to be a moment when like everyone turns on him.
Yeah.
And is like, trade him.
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. The game's a game. Stanley Johnson. So did he make your list?
He did make my list.
Why did he make your list?
He made my list because there's something like that has intrigued me about Stanley Johnson, honestly, since they picked him up in the summer. I didn't really even know much about him as a player previous to that pickup, but he just seemed like a guy. Like, he seemed like a guy that was going to fit really well into the, like, dynamic of the team, and also just, like, the development side of the team. Does, you know...
Yeah, this Nick Nurse thing is
this
really...
This Nick Nurse thing is, like... Yeah. Thrown me a little, but you know, to your point, like maybe it's just like the necessary fire he needed under him, because he's someone who was like, I think, a little bit relegated in Detroit, like didn't get a lot of time, like probably didn't get that much attention.
His role changed a lot too.
I guess like in some ways he kind of reminded me of like an OG type player. And I thought like I like OG a lot, so I found that intriguing. But there's just something about him. Also, I saw a picture of him very early on wearing a shearling jean jacket. And I was
he
like,
loves jean jackets.
Yeah, which is like, I like that personally.
Okay.
So it was a good mix. A good mix of intrigue for me. But now I don't know.
Well, just because of Nick Nurse, don't let Nick Nurse tear down your Stanley Johnson love.
It's true. It won't. But he was so stern. Nope.
Yeah. It was weird when Josh Lumber was just trying to finish his question, and he was just like, cut him off. He's like, no, these guys are not good right now.
Josh, the schemes.
Don't talk to me about their defense reputation on the Nets. The Nets were a bottom 10 defensive team last year, all right?
Harsh. I know. Why was he on your list?
He's on my list because I feel like he's just an interesting guy. Like, if you just like do a bit of research and then like what Stanley's about and stuff like that, he seems to have very many varied interests. He's into fashion.
He's into
like weird wines, things like that.
Is he? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and
so
he's just
the right city for him in that way.
Exactly, fashion and weird wines. and I just feel like I don't know. I feel like there definitely is untapped potential with him. Like, I look at him like, there's no reason why you can't be a very successful NBA player. I mean, first off, he was a lottery pick, top 10 pick. So clearly, other people saw the potential. It's pretty obvious. But I just feel like with guys like this, like, you have all the ability. You know, okay, the shot is not, like, perfect. But, like, how many guys don't have perfect shots in the NBA? It's fine. There is something there. And I just know that if he really buys into the right coach at the right time with the right set of players, he's going to be successful. Because you look at him, he's, like, 6'8". He has a huge wingspan. He's strong as an ox. Like, you know, he could do a lot of things. He's a pretty good ball handler for his size. Shooting whatever, but you know, he's a good playmaker and stuff like that. Like, he can do a lot of these things. He just needs to put it all together. And with these, if I'm going to be completely honest about the rest of the Raptors, like, there's guys that have made the most of their talents, and you know, that's cool. Like, I think Fred is a guy who made the most of his talent. Kyle Lowry is definitely a guy who's made the most of their talent. Marc Gasol, same way, right? But then, you know, it's just rare to see guys. Obviously, they're coming in from outside the organization, but guys that have more talent than what has actually translated to production.
Yeah.
And that's where the Raptors might come in and say, look, you have this ability and you can make good on it, and we are the team for you. Now, Nick Nurse's comments do kind of throw me off a little bit here. But again, this is like it's like October 17th or something. Like, we have months to go.
Yeah.
So I just want to see someone like Stanley sort of step in that opportunity, because what else are you going to do, man?
What else is he going to do? Yeah. It is like a raw, it's like kind of a raw, rangy, like undefined talent. Mm-hmm. And it's true. Like, that's sort of a rare thing for the Raptors to get. So I understand Nurse's frustrations, right? Because, like, it's not something they want to squander. It's something that they want to be able to work for them.
For sure, for sure.
Get with the scheme, Stanley.
And then the last guy that so those were my top five.
Yes.
The fifth guy for you was not Norman Powell, but Pascal Siakam.
Pascal.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that's kind of, for me, he's obvious.
Yeah. But I was trying to be edgy, not putting Pascal on
the list. It's okay. You know? It worked.
Stanley Johnson is my
super edgy.
Definitely a very edgy man.
Will Edgy Lou.
In my H&M pink sweater that I'm wearing right now. That was $15. Great value.
Fashion city. Pascal is just like, one, I hope he gets the bag.
Yes.
Secures it.
Seems like he's going to get it.
Seems like he's going to get the bag. Just based on the trajectory that he had last year, the more interesting things to me were the kind of sticky points, the frustration points mm-hmm. that he had a lot throughout the playoffs. But to see that in real time, how he kind of like righted himself, made some small adjustments, and like came out and like really fixed things and just like shone, I think, to be able to see that now more consistently. Mm-hmm. There's something that I mean, also the fact that like he got huge in the summer.
Oh, he's deezed.
He's like, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
He was already a big dude, but like he's an extremely big dude now. Adding that like kind of physicality to his wingspan, to his range, just like he's like a scary player on the court. And I can't
maybe Giannis.
I can't wait to see
him. Even though he's older than Giannis, whatever.
I think Giannis has like the babier face, maybe.
Yeah. Giannis is impossibly young, man.
What a cutie. Anyway,
yeah.
Pascal's cute too. But
Giannis is expecting a child too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not the baby anymore.
Yeah, yeah, no.
That's strange because I felt like honestly he was too young to have a child.
I know. I thought he was like 20 years old, but no, he's like 24. I mean, okay. I guess that's old enough.
That's fair. Anyway.
I wouldn't have a child at 24, but I also am not Giannis. I missed that chance anyway. I'm 26 now.
I think there's just going to be like, I think he's just going to have another crazy year.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got this added like confidence. I've seen some people say like, oh, maybe they're worried he's going to be like overly cocky, especially like if he gets this big payout. But like, I kind of am living for that. Like, I hope he gets super cocky because like, you know, if there's another player like Fred, like Lowry, like the rest of the Raptors who has like the work ethic and the dedication, I don't think it's going to get swayed with Pascal because of like getting a great deserving contract. Because
you could tell he's really rooted and grounded.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. And you like those frustrating moments I mentioned on anywhere where he kind of like stumbled, you could see that how grounded he was because he didn't really ever take it too personally. He was able to just like adjust himself and come out better for it. So I don't know. I'm just kind of like excited in this way. Maybe I haven't been as a Raptors fan before to see him come out and like body some guys in like real flashy ways. And we don't really have a lot of like flashy players.
No, no, he's probably the flashiest
and
guy.
He's like, I think he's going to have a real flashy year. So purely aesthetics and as like a pride point.
Yeah.
I'm very like interested in that.
Yeah. And, all I will say about Pascal, I mean, we already talked about him at the start of the show in terms of his contract situation, but you know, he's got a new set of problems to solve. That's
mm-hmm.
exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's honestly, it's the same way for most of these guys that, you know, they are in elevated roles. But with Pascal, I mean, like, man, if you can actually solve some of these things and all of a sudden you have an organically grown, locally sourced superstar. And that's always better than importing one. Anyway, we're going to move on to listener questions. So we got a ton of them. I don't want to hold you too long. So we will not race through them.
Lightning
take
round.
Our time. But, you know, okay. Like something like this from Jeff. Who will have the best year among McCaw, Davis, and Thomas?
I don't really know like how any of them fit on the team, but like I want Makah to have a good year, if only because I think he's such a weirdo.
He is such a weirdo.
Yeah.
Who plays basketball as a point guard for 20 minutes doesn't take a shot?
That makes me sad. I bet he's like more of a weirdo off the court, like his weird little dances that he does. Yeah. I'm just like, you know, his personality.
He's got such thin legs.
He's a very like brittle looking man. Yeah, but yeah. What's also weird is, of course, he doesn't shoot. He runs and does like a pump fake in a layup. And then he like dashes the ball away. That's, I think, his closest to a shot as I've seen.
Yeah.
But I'll say Pat. Pat Makah.
Okay. All right. I will say Makah too, only because it seems like Nurse really likes Makah.
Yeah.
So if the coach likes you, chances are you're going to have a good year. I think Davis is going to spend a little bit of time with the G League. And Thomas, you know, it's going to be an adjustment period. I'm not saying he's bad at all. Like, he actually has some pretty good games. He looks better than, like, Stanley and Rondé so far,
yeah,
for example.
Yeah.
But I do believe that there has been an adjustment defensively. You just can't – like, the Raptors are going to need to be better defensively. They need to be better offensively, because them being elite defensively is way more realistic than them being elite offensively. So if it comes down to, like, Thomas is running the defense, mm-hmm, but he gives you shooting, it's like, well, you know, you're going to sit on the bench. Mm-hmm. That's all. Mm-hmm. All right, next one from Robert. Can you rank the Raptors' remaining 2020 unrestricted free agents by likelihood of the team re-signing them?
Oh, my God.
And what do you think the deal will look like? So,
Robert.
So, these are, like, this is three that they have. I mean, we're not obviously counting, like, one-year guys and stuff like that. But, obviously, Serge, mm-hmm, Mark, and Fred, mm-hmm, are the three major unrestricted free agents coming to next year. Rank them in terms of their likelihood of being re-signed with the Raptors, and also what type of deal they'd be getting.
This is a hurtful question.
This is difficult.
This is very tough, because in my heart it's Fred.
Yeah,
but I think on paper, just given like the positions available, I feel like you're gonna re-up on.
Seems like you gotta keep one of the two big guys.
Yeah, I would say Serge.
Okay,
but I'm also reluctant.
Yeah.
To say Serge, because Gasol's like really found a fit.
Yeah.
And it, you know, Serge can still go a bit hot and cold. But for the sake of this question, Serge, Mark, and then Fred, realistically.
Okay.
And then in my heart, Fred.
I don't want Fred to walk.
I absolutely don't.
I feel like, especially if he takes a leap this year, he's going to get pretty expensive. But mm-hmm, the Raptors have A, they have his bird rights, and B, he's already said he wants to be here long term.
Yeah.
I think he has a great bond with Kyle. I don't think it's going to be a situation where he looks at Kyle and says, it's me or him.
No, I don't think so.
He's not going to do that.
And so. I trust like the front office to see the value and like,
yeah, for
you know,
sure.
Even if you got to like pay out for it, like, mm-hmm, to keep him around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think this is a Bismack Biyombo situation where a guy has an incredible playoff run and then you pay him just based on that.
Yeah.
First off,
but good
Fred
for
didn't
Biz.
Have an incredible playoff run. He only had an incredible second half of the playoff run, yeah, which is great. But, yeah. I don't know. I think they always have to come to a reasonable number, but I feel like they can find some common ground there. I don't want him to walk, man. He's like a perfect, you know, he's a perfect cultural fit, too.
Absolutely.
For the Raptors. Tyler asks, potential pieces you can see being traded this year. This question comes up every week.
Why is everyone so excited to talk about trades when we haven't even started yet?
Because everybody wants to be what's his name, Sam Hinkie.
Yes.
And just like constantly trade guys in the turn
trade
like
machine.
They're not stocks, they're humans. Yeah. Like, you know, and you're trying to build a competitive team. I mean, obviously I'm not saying this question is unwarranted, because there's a real chance they move some people, but at the same time, you know, the over excitement over it is something else too. But I think one of the two bigs is getting traded.
I think so, too.
Do it you just makes sense.
Like midseason?
Yeah. And I actually think it's probably Serge is more likely to get traded, just because I think he could fetch a higher return.
That's
than
true.
Mark.
Yeah.
Because, like, Mark went on the market last year, and he got offers of, like, JV and CJ Miles' bad contract and DeLon, who left.
Yeah.
It's not a very good – they're not getting a lot out of that. So, it's probably Serge.
It's like, how hungry is the league?
Wow. The delivery on that was incredible. The little pause. Tim asks, how do you feel about this team compared to the 2017-2018 Raptors?
Great. Oh, like less DeRozan?
Like less. This is better than that team, same as that team, or
I think
worse
they're
than that
better. They're better just by virtue of like what they've gone through. And okay. A lot of the players that like still, even like Lowry is like leaps and bounds better from where he was. Fred, Siakam. So you look at all those pieces, like even without the championship, just having gone through last season, they're a lot better. Like those players are. I guess like, I don't
know. They won 59 games that year.
I don't think they're going to have a bad regular season this
year. I don't think they're going to have a bad one, but I don't think they'll get to 59.
I'm like, I was going to say 58, which I guess goes to your point.
Wow.
It's technically 58. Not 59. But
it's definitely 58 and not 59. I'll take 58.
They're going to have like, I think they're going to have a very steady, productive like regular season, just like a quiet, hardworking one like they did last year, the year before. Mm. But now, you know, these guys aren't like, there's something, there's not that the like hunger and like the desperation, maybe like the hunger's still there, but the desperation isn't there, which I think is going to serve them a lot better.
Yeah, I think the big difference is the 2017-18 Raptors were worried that they were frauds, and this year they know they're not frauds.
Exactly.
That was actually such a big, it's just a big stress of watching the Raptors before. I was like, is this team for real? Are they actually going to do something this time? And then I was like, oh, wow, they got swept again. And now it's like, no, we're defending champions, man. No matter what happens, we're defending champions. That banner has gone up October 22nd. It's going to stay there forever.
Yeah, mentality alone, this is a better team.
Okay. The only thing I'll push back on is Kyle Lowry's not better than he was at that season.
No, and he's not going to play as much, probably. Yeah. But I think for himself, as a person, he's better.
Yeah. He has the gold ball. Where do you think he keeps the basketballs, the game balls from Kawhi's shot? And
I picture him just having like East a finals. Cartoon closet that he stacks flat and then he opens it every day.
Kyle Lowry's a hoarder. He actually didn't want to collect these in the first place. He just...
And they all just fall onto him.
Kyle Lowry like climbs the rooftops of middle schools and collects all the gym balls that have been roofed.
You don't know how many balls he's got in his closets of his house.
I hope Kyle Lowry eventually gets a call from Kawhi one day, and Kawhi's like, do you have my ball, and how much do you want for it? And I really hope he takes it. It was like $33 million over a year, please. Player to be named later. All right, not bad. What starting five combinations do you think we'll see this year? Do you foresee Masai making any trades? Okay, for the trades thing we already talked about. The starting five combos. So Nick Nurse is a little weird.
He
loves being
super
weird.
Super weird.
Nick Nurse is a guy that goes to a bar and asks about their weirdest IPA. You know what I mean? He's that kind of, or maybe he loves like stouts.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so he was talking yesterday about, you know, he's tried lineups where OG is the 2 and Pascal is the 3 and Serge is the 4 and Mark is the 5 in like the jumbo lineup. And he also tried like super small lineups where it's like Kyle, Fred, Norm, along with Pascal and whoever, Serge.
Mm-hmm.
So he's clearly willing to experiment with a lot. But what starting five combo do you think he will ultimately settle on, assuming that there are no major trades?
I like Lowry and Fred on the floor at the same time.
Okay.
A lot. Pascal. I think Gasol.
Okay.
Over Serge.
Yeah. I can see a case for both.
Yeah.
Only I in the like sense both. I think Serge is more ready to go right now. And so he might play right now.
True.
I don't know.
True. Then who do we have left? Still got a spot.
Just a three. Do you want Norm or you want OG?
OG, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, OG.
You need size to defend.
Yeah.
OG has to be on the starting five. Yeah.
But it's kind of a funny question because you know any lineup's not really going to last beyond like two games.
That is true. That is true. If you know Nick Nurse, he's going to try some crazy shit and put McCaw out there for no reason. Oh, God. Muneeb asks, more likely to win or be in the conversation for most improved player, OG or Norman Powell?
Oh, OG.
Okay. Can Van Vliet make the big leap and be the sixth man of the year?
Yes.
That one I firmly believe.
Absolutely. I don't think it's even a big leap.
Yeah.
Leap to the like attentions of the league at large.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not to us.
Yeah. As Kevin Durant said, you know, this guy's a dog. Yeah.
He said Van Vliet?
Yeah. He said Van Vliet. Everyone says Van Vliet a lot.
But man, I kind of like it.
Yeah. Can Pascal make it to the all NBA third team along with being an all-star?
Sure.
Okay. And will our defense from last year hold up?
Yes.
All right. Everything's going to go well for the Raptors this year. You heard it here first from writer at large, Katie. No. Joe Crawford, will the Raptor receive a comically oversized championship ring to fit over his glove? Great question.
That is a good question. He's going to get something. I guess I pictured it more of like a costume, like a full body ring.
Oh, you mean like there's like a
or a tail ring.
There's like a cake.
Yeah.
And in the shape of a ring. And then the Raptor bursts out of it.
Maybe.
Like Isaiah Thomas burst out of the Raptor like 1995.
I think I like tail ring now that I said it.
Okay. Tail ring. Yeah. That's good.
I like that because it keeps his hands free. He needs them for like handstands.
That's true.
Shooting. Yeah. Hijinks.
Yeah. Tom asks, game one, can OG stop Zion?
Yeah, guys, I gotta say,
Zion is terrifying in how he moves. You don't just see many humans moving like this.
No, you don't. But
it's like if you threw a brick through a window.
I'm only basing this on like 5 minutes of seeing him play at Summer League.
Oh, the earthquake game.
The earthquake game.
Yeah, yeah.
Which sounds more impressive. Like, yeah, it sounds like, oh, it's Zion's earthquake game. But he was not very good in that game.
No.
So,
but he ripped the ball from
he did.
Kevin Knox.
Watching Zion dunk is, like, so fun. It's so fun. And it's going to make watching basketball in what will already be, like, an extremely fun year to watch even better.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think OG can stop him.
Okay. Good.
I think there's, like, what we talked about, just this, like, extra versatility or, like, sneakiness in OG.
I want to see
that Zion doesn't move that way.
Fair enough. I want to see OG and Zion have an arm wrestling match after the game.
Yeah, that I think he would lose.
Okay.
I mean,
fair enough.
OG would lose.
Yeah. Zion looks like a giant human bicep. Nelson asks, even after signing Pascal to a max or near max, Raptors will still have a lot of cap space left over. What do you expect it to be used for?
Fred.
And Buddy.
And Buddy.
That'd be great.
As we've already put into the universe.
Buddy. Norm is there still?
My death lineup, yeah.
OG? Pascal? No bigs?
Oh my, yeah, no bigs. This
Chris
is,
Boucher?
This
is the, oh, God.
This is the big list year.
Yeah. I mean, there should still be enough money for Fred. So
yeah,
that's
true.
Fine. And then hopefully they have enough money for Buddy.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Buddy. And then, I don't know, like, realistically, is this team really going after Giannis? I don't.
It's debatable.
It's like, we won't say no. We'll keep it out there, like, you
know, we got to keep it out there
in the universe
for listens. People, please listen to the podcast, though, and years down the line, you'll get paid off in Giannis as a Raptor. Hopefully.
What is it? How much? Who we're going to go after? Cap space? You got to go after a Buddy.
Sure.
The more I think about it, the more it makes sense.
Yeah, he fits the team nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the budget.
He's also low-key old, like everyone on the Raptors. My guy, Marcelo do Recife. Wow, okay. How is Will Lou Fitz so far? Have you been following Alex's work on IG? That's, how dare you insinuate that? That's definitely me on IG and not Alex.
I just tagged
photos.
Will Lou Fitz.
Wow.
In a pic from Hoop Talks last week.
Nice.
You
Thanks to Matt for taking those photos.
Yeah. Matt's always like
at the event.
I was going to say getting the shots,
angles. That too,
yeah. But yeah, physically, he's always there.
He's always at the event.
Because he's the photographer.
Yes.
Anyway, peep it to check out Will Lou Fitz.
Wow.
Should I take a pic now?
No. This is like a C-level outfit.
I did it.
What do you predict Kalari's stats and average to be this year?
Great.
All right. Great.
Broad strokes.
Say 13 points and 8 assists.
How's per that? Game?
And 5 rebounds.
I think he's going to be probably rebounding a lot more. I think
more,
like,
than 5.
Yeah,
okay.
I think 6. Like, yeah, it's, his distribution is probably going to get a bit more of an uptick. But I don't want to see him like shine away from taking shots, doing the drives. But I know we're not going to get as many like drives as we're used to. He's got to take care of his body.
The drives are kind of a playoff mode for him now. So, yeah. Wow, okay, this guy asked a lot of questions. Sorry, I already answered like 4 of those questions earlier. So there's a question about Fred. We've talked about that as well. Another question about Fred. I talked about that as well. Okay, what about this? From Shashank Srinivasan. which teams do you believe would be interested in Mark or Serge as midseason trade acquisitions? I would say a lot of teams. The Celtics, for example.
Yeah, the trash Celtics are trying to get their hands on anybody and definitely would like to take any of the Raptors leavings. Yeah, the Celtics. In the East, they could fit into a lot of teams. In the West, you know, I don't hate the idea of getting the Gasol brothers back together on the Blazers. But I don't know that.
Wait, Powell's on the Blazers?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Since when?
He is.
Oh, word.
Since
okay.
the summer.
Powell's had a weird summer. Okay. So their centers are Hassan Whiteside and Paul Gasol?
Yeah.
What?
And why not add Mark to the mix?
Sure, why not have a good one?
Serge is tougher. Serge is like a tougher fit to find.
You think so? I feel like Serge is plug and play. Like, it's so straightforward. You run a pick and roll in the middle of the floor. He pops. You throw a bounce pass to him. He shoots a jumper. He makes the jumper.
I guess I'm just thinking maybe cultural fit.
Serge?
Yeah.
He speaks like four languages. Culturally, he'd be fine.
No,
everywhere.
Like team vibe.
Oh.
He's a worldly man.
Definitely a worldly
man. He's a worldly man. I don't know. Like this, the Sixers maybe?
I want to say the Clippers because they really do need a big man, but it would really break my heart to see the Raptors go to the Clippers again, man. What's going on?
Yeah, that can't.
Stop taking our Raptors.
That's enough. Yeah, just like.
You already got the best one.
You got one. You got a few.
It hurts. You got Lou Williams.
Oh, yeah, Lou. And Lou, was like, okay, I'm going to become consistent now.
Yeah.
When Lou got to the Clippers. So, the Clippers are, like, Raptors 2.0 looking team this year.
Lou looks like a very, like, players love Lou.
They do.
Like, Kawhi was like, yeah, let's go fishing together. Come on, man. Even Serge couldn't get Kawhi to go fishing. Even though he made him eat, like, bull penis and things like this, he couldn't get him to go, like, sit and fish.
I don't think we should feel too bad, like, he's just also getting more sun now, and he's just, like, feeling a little bit better. He's got more vitamin D. There's nothing you can do in this market to compete against Southern California sunshine.
That's true.
So don't beat yourselves up.
Yeah. We'll take four more because this is already running quite long. Jason Kim asks, what's a viable second option for late-night Chinese food after Roll Sign closes down? This is a tough question. Even I don't know. I don't really have a good answer. You know what?
There's a lot of places. I guess, like, don't you feel like even being from Toronto, you just know places like by sign. Like, I'll just call things like Red Sign, Green Sign.
Yeah, Red Sign is Roll Sign. Green Sign is New Hoking.
Yeah. New Hoking is like if you're really just like it's fine in a pinch, but like, you know.
Honestly, I'm completely honest about it. Most of the Chinatown restaurants, I don't like as much.
Yeah.
Dundas
though. Dundas Chinatown towards the AGL guys, that's the spot.
Okay.
You can sing Taz for $4.
Yeah. That's exactly what I want actually. Yeah. is a light Asian beer for $4 at 2 a.m.
Yeah, prices that are still like, you know, 2002, 2005. But again, I'm sorry I can't to name the places just, off my head and Rosan.
It's just hard to compete with that one. It's but I think they'll keep it open. I think they're just going to, you know, build a whole new multi-purpose complex and keep Rosan in the building. Hopefully they just don't kill they don't like jack the rent. So it's like so much more.
Yeah. But yeah.
I believe in Rosan that it will still be there. But there's Magical Taste of China. That one's okay. That's good, actually. I like that place. But it closes before midnight. So it's not really a late night spot. Like Asian Legend is good, I guess, if you're coming to this area. But also kind of closes a bit early. And it's more of a family spot. I don't know, man. This is a little bit sad.
It is sad.
Go to Big Trouble Bar or Opium Bar. Those places are cool. But it's more like a bar kind of thing. Yeah, it's not like you sit down and eat.
You're not going to sit down and order too much food.
Yeah. Someone said this is more of a Blake Murphy question. All right. Well, then that's fine.
Rude, but let's try.
All right, fine.
Let's do it as like we'll answer as Blake.
We'll pretend we're Blake.
Not ourselves. Cool.
But who do you find? This might be more of a Blake Murphy question from Sarah Says. But who do you think is going to be chosen to fill out the roster this week?
Oh, as Blake.
Yeah.
This is tough because Blake would just be like,
well, you know, Chris Boucher has incredible block percentage numbers at the G League level, but does that translate? You don't really quite know. And also the Raptors have a partial guarantee with Malcolm Miller at September 27th. No.
That was full. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Blake's going to pull out like guys. You're like, who is that? Yeah. Like on the.
Oh, Shaper said it's making a late push. Sources tell me that Exhibit 10 is on the table for him. I was like, all right, come on, man. Blake was tweeting out G League trades yesterday.
That's what I mean. He's going to, I don't know the full, like, I can't tell you right now the full like G League roster, but he would pick someone out from deep and be like, you can't discount this guy.
You can't sleep on Negus Webster Chan. He's still on the 905 after all these years. And oh, man.
What's up, Blake?
Being fake Blake is great.
Yeah.
This is a trade he had yesterday that he tweeted out. Raptors 905 have traded the number 4 overall pick and J.J. Moore to Westchester for Paul Watson and a 3rd-round pick.
So I'm going to say, as Blake, don't sleep on Paul Watson.
Yeah, sure. if you like create like a new campaign in like 2K and they just like generate fake players and fake trades and stuff like that. And then the last question then from Amin, because there's a lot more questions. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get to as many of them as possible, but the podcast can only go so long. From Amin, do you go after DeMar DeRozan next offseason? He is a free agent.
No.
Yeah.
I think it hurts me to say it, you know, but I think that ship has sailed. Mm-hmm. I think it's like it wouldn't even be a great move for DeMar.
No.
Like it's not. It wouldn't really help his career. He wouldn't be playing necessarily the kind of basketball that I think he sort of left the team to go beyond that and mm-hmm. like sort of eke out a new role on the Spurs. I think he should re-sign with the Spurs, maybe with the Clippers, honestly. But
oh God,
I think like he's fitting slowly into the rotation and like this is the Spurs system. But I think it would be pretty regressive. I know we all like want maybe that like full circle story, but I also think as a person, he would just like not be interested in that because I think it's like it's in the past, you know, like it's behind him.
Yeah, people can only go with you in life so far, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like DeMar is like a weird ex that like loved you a lot, maybe more than you deserved, and then you like. Moved on to something better, but then you don't just go back to that.
You can't go back. No, no one can go back. No. They can't go back. You can't go back. No. You've all changed.
Exactly.
It wouldn't serve anybody's best interests.
Mm-hmm.
And like ultimately,
you get back together. You fight over the same old things. You know. You left the dishes. You didn't wash them. You didn't change like you know the cat litter, or you took a contested mid-range shot instead of passing to the corner shooter. You know, like you argue
you
over these things.
You fall into all your shitty old habits. You don't get to become the people that you should be growing into.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So.
No. Sorry, no.
Sorry, DeMar. Wow, this made me really sad to end the podcast. Oh,
do another one. Find a funnier one.
maybe I'll look for a good one here. I mean, they're all like Kyle Lowry trades, so it's already really sad.
Get real, guys. Come on.
10-day. Oh my God, it's getting tough.
We're deep.
Worst
in
best case scenario. There's a whole podcast for that. Norm can be our most offensive player this year. That's very sad and just not true. Pascal is straight up better. The Giannis stuff. Oh, that's like. Do you ever worry that something you say about a player might reach their ears and impact the attitude towards you? I don't think so.
Some guys.
I love the podcast, but the scope of the podcast is not that big. I'm not like Stephen A. Smith.
No, but sometimes I think when you're writing stuff, I think like certain players, not like big players, but there's definitely players who have like Google alerts.
Yeah.
I never read something.
Yeah. The rest of the questions are not very happy, so.
They're not going to turn this around, huh?
No. So I'm just going to reset the mood by calling you Ryder at Large again.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, but a good seg into basketball feelings.
Yes.
My newsletter about deep dives into feelings.
It's very, very good. It's very, very good.
Thank you. But, you know, that DeRozan thing. That would be a great fit for basketball feelings.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So
all you need is, like, DeMar to take another, like, 2 a.m. IG story that he always does.
Yeah.
He puts a time code in so many.
Yeah. He wants you to know when he recorded the like black screen with a little bit of text. Yeah. Anyway, subscribe to Basketball Feelings. Basketballfeelings.substack.com.
Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Thank you.
It's really, really good. I read the most recent one that was on the Hong Kong situation, which I just thought, yeah, the way you wrote about Hong Kong. I've actually only been there once in my life. I was like with my parents as like a very young age, and I was probably only there to get a visa or something like that, because we left the same day and I got like food poisoning. So my impression of Hong Kong has always been like that all the food there is poisonous. There's no way people should live there. No, but the way you wrote about it was very beautiful, and it's clear that, you know,
yeah,
you have a lot of sympathy for just the situation, everything that's going on. And it honestly is very tragic, everything that's going on there. So
yeah,
but you know, that's basketball feelings.
That's basketball feelings. Yeah.
Explore your feelings.
Yeah. Always.
With some basketball.
Always.
So, Katie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Where can people find you and basketball feelings?
You can find, well, we talked about where you can find feelings everywhere.
Yeah.
You can follow me on Twitter at whatevs, WTEVS, if you like. And then I kind of like, as you mentioned, writer at large, writing around Raptors Republic. Also like doing a lot of writing for Dime Up Rocks.
Yep.
Wrote something there. Also kind of heavy about the shelf life of assault allegations in the off season.
Oh man.
And what happens when we forget about them when the preseason rolls around. So another light read for you.
All right. this is the yeah, definitely read it. And yeah, the podcast is over.
Thanks, Will.
Thanks, Katie.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.